on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? It's another edition of YoteCast. Great to have you alongside for this one. And in this episode, we're talking about the catch, the play that earned an award at the Sports Illustrated Awards. And what an opportunity for Carson Camp and Jeremiah Webb to be able to go to Florida, accept the award on behalf of the University of South Dakota and the football program. Just a tremendous honor for those guys. And we're going to talk to Carson Camp coming up in the show about his experience, which was a pretty cool one. So excited to share his story with you, his experience getting the opportunity to go down to Florida for that awards ceremony. It's great to see that, and obviously that play, something that we should celebrate. I know many people have celebrated it, and not everybody's going to appreciate you celebrating that play for obvious reasons, but I'm telling you, this is a play that we need to celebrate, because these are the type of plays that you just don't see every day. These are the type of moments you don't get. These are the type of moments that athletes dream about, right? You dream about a basketball player. As a basketball player, you dream about hitting that shot at the buzzer to win a big game. As a football player, you dream about getting into the end zone, or you dream about that crazy wild ending play that gets you a victory, and it happens to be over South Dakota State, right? Like, that's incredible. It's just amazing how things have played out for Coyote football this year. And I thought, you know, regardless of how the season ended, tremendous season. And certainly one of the many highlights out of this entire season was that play in Vermilion. It will live on for a long, long time. Years from now, they will still remember the Hail Mary inside the Dakota Dome, the catch, Jeremiah Webb on the receiving end, Carson Camp escaping pressure, firing that thing to the end zone and getting tipped around by a couple of Jackrabbit players, and somehow, some way, South Dakota comes down with it. Jeremiah Webb just able to grab that football out of the air, right? Man, it's just a wild, wild ending to that football game. And man, if you were one of the people who left early because you had counted them out, I hope we learned a lesson here, right? Game's not over till the clock hits zero. So there you go. 1 second left. That play, man, we're going to talk about that for a long, long time. And certainly the Sports Illustrated Awards will help with that. And what a trophy, huh? I know you saw the picture. It's been on GoYotes.com of Jeremiah Webb holding on to the trophy. Carson Camp is talking, and just that trophy just says SI on it. It's kind of a different looking trophy, no doubt. But, hey, cool opportunity for those guys. And hopefully that's a driving force for them to continue through the offseason workouts and everything that they do as well. So we'll get to Carson Camp, his experience, so stick around for that. But we'll start it off with David Herbster. He was also on that trip. He had an experience at the awards show as well, and the opportunity to help get these guys to Florida to accept the award, which is really, really cool. So we'll start there with David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota.
David, you had the opportunity this week to join the football players and Coach Nielsen and that group and head down to Florida for the Sports Illustrated Awards. Obviously, the smooth play of the year, right, won by South Dakota. What was that experience like? Let's start from when you first learned about this and the planning started to take, started to go into effect and some of that, and you had to work through all of that stuff. What was that moment like for you to realize, wow, this is kind of cool. This is going to get real.
You know, we found out a little. It was a late notice, right? I mean, and so now really quickly you're trying to put some things in motion, and finding out. At first it was like, okay, are we just a nominee or did we win? And so weeding through that a little bit, then it's trying to figure out how we get down there for it. I think that was one of those things that, you know, the virtual acceptance really wasn't going to be an option. So we're just trying to figure out how do we pull all this together. And the bigger challenge was making sure that doing it in a way that took those Carson Jeremiah off campus for as little amount of time as possible, right? Because we're buttoned up on the end of the semester. Final exams are starting, so we had to sit down with those two, let them know about what was happening, and they're a little awestruck a little bit. And, of course, having to tell Bob as well. I mean, because technically the football team is the one that won the award, and then Jeremiah and Carson were the one accepted on behalf of the team. So trying to put all this together in a short amount of time, we knew that going commercial really wasn't a very good option because it would have taken us out of at least two full days. And leading up to finals, that wasn't a good option. So fortunately, I had made some phone calls, and one of our football alums, Scott Jones, was the one that had a plane that we were able to go down and back in. And so Scott was actually a quarterback here for USD and is actually the quarterback on the 86 team that went to the national title game. So certainly he has a very invested interest in USD and certainly in the football team and being able to take the quarterback around. He was more than happy to do that too, right? So trying to get all that. And then leading up to it, the other challenge really is getting all the actual information that we needed from both Sports Illustrated or the company that was putting this on for Sports Illustrated. So even some of these details, we weren't even fully confident on how some of this was going to happen or what was going to happen when. Even by the time we were at the hotel. So as you can imagine, the things that we deal with from a travel perspective, everything is lined out pretty, the time here. You know we were a little wishy-washy on some of this stuff too, right? And so that's always a little bit unnerving. And there were six of us. So myself and Coach Nielsen, Jeremiah and Carson went, and of course Scott Jones, and then Brian Betcher, our sports information director, we all went and popped in a plane and got down there. It was interesting because we took off from Sioux Falls and there's snow on the ground and we land in palm trees. That was a little unique, right? But it was just so much fun. I mean, the amount of work on the front side just to make sure we could get down there and how would we get down there and what was that going to look like? And even we had to work around Bob's schedule too because, I mean, he's in the middle of recruiting season. We had to push back a home visit to make sure he could do this and, you know, you're moving everything around. But we left here. We were wheels up by 10 o'clock on Tuesday. And we were wheels down by about 10 o'clock on Wednesday. I mean, it really was 24 hours. So it happened really fast.
Well, that's wild. And those trips, they do come at you really, really fast. And there's a lot going on once you get there. You talked about the itinerary. But Carson and Jeremiah get there. They're on the red carpet. They're doing this and that. Then eventually you get to the awards show. The play gets announced. They go up on stage. What was the moment for you that you just kind of sat back and thought, wow, this is really cool for them when you're seeing them go through all these different things?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So at the ceremony, so they only had four spots for us at the table right by the stage, right? So I put Jeremiah and Carson and then Coach Nielsen and Scott Jones up at that table. Brian and I sat back in the stands. So when that got announced, I'm hopping up and I'm kind of working my way over so I can at least record the whole thing. It's a little bit of a proud parent moment, right? You're just so proud for those guys and watching them get up on stage and have to talk, you know. Watching these two on the red carpet, they did a really good job. They look like old pros, but now you're up on the stage in front of everybody. You know you're in front of a big crowd, and you know you're this is being streamed across the world, and so you're like, okay, guys. Don't screw this one up now, right? Yeah. But they got up there and they did a great job. And you're just watching them. They're just kind of awestruck. It's, you know, you got a 19 and 20-year-old up there accepting this award, and they're just eyes wide open, and you're just watching them look around. It was so much fun. And so they get the award. They're up on stage. They come back down. You get the congratulations. Ha-ha. You get the hugs. And then their 2 minutes of fame, I mean, at least right there, is done. And then it just kind of – but you got to sit through the rest of the award ceremony too.
Yeah.
You know. But it was just such a great moment for them, for the football team, for Coach Nielsen, to be able to be honored and recognized. And then you saw, you know, who they were up against as well. I mean, you're up against a pro golfer and Gonzaga for the buzzer beater shot in the Final Four, and then the Marshall game-winning kick to win the title there. But it was, you know, you're looking at all of those, and you think about all the other plays over the course of the entire year, collegiately and professionally, and this was the one that was kind of highlighted as the play of the year, designated by probably one of the gurus in sports, well, you would think, right, in Sports Illustrated, one of the more respected magazines and periodicals, and then you're there with watching Tom Brady get the Sportsman of the Year, and you got the Male and Female Athlete of the Year, and all these other awards. It was pretty special.
Yeah. crazy moment. Awesome deal for the program and the university to get recognized like that. So they had, I know, some mix and mingle type of events. Did you get a chance to meet some celebrities yourself, or were you the celebrity?
They did not have any idea who I was. I did have one person say, hey, nice jacket or nice sport coat. I'm like, thanks, dude. Nice shoes. He had a pair of like 1985 Air Jordans on. And the sad thing was I'm like looking at his shoes going, you know, I wore some of those in high school. He looked at me like, you're not that old. I'm like, oh, bless you, son. You're so no, he did. So not a lot because I wasn't up there in that area, right? But I did get a chance to meet. I got some pictures with Ray Lewis, former football player, Chad Johnson, or Ocho Cinco. You had a chance to just say hi to Billie Jean King because she was back in the green room. And, you know, she's getting hustled here and hustled there. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So you get a little bit of time there. But really, the best part was kind of leaving the ceremony and then with meeting up with Jeremiah and Carson, and they're just getting flooded with pictures. Can I have your autograph? Can you, that was kind of special. And those guys were just the most gracious that you could ever be with it, and signing autographs and taking pictures and doing all that kind of stuff. Of course, they're carrying the trophy too, right? So that's just like, hey, look at me, come take my picture, right? But what are you supposed to do with the thing? You can't. It doesn't hide under an arm very well either. This thing is just out there. But it was kind of interesting to see how many people kind of knew who they were, or at least, hey, you're the ones that you caught the ball. You're the one that threw the ball. You're the play of the year. So they soaked that up pretty good.
Yeah, that's an awesome deal, awesome thing for the program and the university. Let's talk some basketball. Well, women's basketball, I know, got off to a challenging start, played a really, really challenging schedule early on, but they've kind of found their stride a little bit in the middle of a homestand. It's been nice to see them have the opportunity to compete at home.
It is, there's no doubt it's a challenging schedule. But you know what? We can talk about it's a challenging schedule, but they're the ones that put it together. Yeah. So, you know what? If you're going to roll it out, then go play. And so they've done that, and they haven't made any excuses. I think all those things have only made them better, come together. You learn more about yourself in those kind of defeats sometimes than you do in some of the wins. And so now we got a nice little home stretch here that I think next week we're down at Creighton. But other than that, we got a little bit of home cooking, so which is good so you can sleep in your own bed. And, of course, now we're in finals week, and so you really can't really travel much either. So they're coming together. It's, I think there's some folks that you see one loss after another and they're getting, you get kind of nervous about what's going on. And I keep thinking to myself, we're getting better. It might not seem like it, but we're getting better.
Well, it's fun to see them have the opportunity to compete at home. We've seen men's basketball compete at home a few times here recently. And one thing we've learned about them, they're going to play in some tight, close basketball games.
Yeah, we really are. And we did it again at Northern Colorado, right? And so, the team is, these very similar to what we kind of struggled with last year. It's just a non-conference trying to find out who are we and how do we kind of work together a little bit. And so, but it'll be nice to have a couple home games and over the course of the next week. And then, we get a kick off the season with a couple home conference games against Oral Roberts and Kansas City. So definitely got some chances to not only see us wind out our regular or non-conference season here at home, but also to kick off the conference season at home. And, again, right off the bat, we're going to be tested right away in the conference with Oral Roberts and Kansas City. So as you kind of get through these things and they start to, you start to fine-tune some things, they're definitely going to play defense and they're going to play really hard. It's the offensively. We have to have, and like Coach says, we really need our defense to try to help us lead into our offense. And so that's what that they're trying to figure out right now and how best to do that. And the good thing is, like we've talked about, you got any one of four or five players that can step up and be your leading scorer. And so they just got to kind of find some consistency and some confidence in each other.
Yeah, no doubt. It's crazy how quick the conference season's coming. Kind of a weird start to the conference here this year, being a Monday and a Wednesday right before Christmas.
Yeah, that's
weird scheduling.
I had nothing to do with it, so but here's what happened, right? Once you added St. Thomas to the league, and now we have travel partners, the only way to get this done was to play a game right before the season or right before Christmas. And nobody wanted to play in between Christmas and New Year's. You know, it's like, that's just not a good time. Nobody's on campus. You can have dead arenas. It's just, so let's, we backed it up because I think some schools already had some tournaments or some other obligations in that time frame in between Christmas and New Year's. But we need to get to a point where we're consistent with that, so we know year in and year out if this is going to be the week that we're going to play these open up conference games, and just don't schedule anything else during that time.
Yep, no doubt. Let's get to Ask the AD. I got one question for you, and I really like this question. I got to tell you that. But here it is. Does David Herbster have a friendly video reminder for the marquee of the catch whenever we host an SDSU event, including basketball? I would hope that it would be mandatory for future SDSU events. Essentially, they're saying, let's rub this in every chance we get.
I got it in my mind a couple of people who probably asked that question. It's not in queue right now. I think what might be a little more appropriate is just to do kind of a, you know, take a picture of the award that we just got, and have that kind of just as a 3D image that we can just kind of scroll along the video boards and stuff like that. I'm sure if anything, our marketing and our video team are already probably trying to figure out little subtle ways to kind of continually do that. But just realize this too, you know, once we play the game next year, that one's kind of out the window, and it's a whole new set of things that you kind of go through. So, but you know, it's interesting. When I was in college at Virginia Tech, I think 1986, Virginia Tech won the Peach Bowl. They beat North Carolina State on a last-second field goal, and it's called the kick. Chris Kinzer was the kicker. It's just the kick, and I think that thing still comes around even. I don't know, that's a long time ago, right? I'm not going to do the math. 35 years ago, whatever it was. That thing still comes around as far as, you know, when you talk about Tech football and stuff like that, that the kick. This one will still, in 35 years from now, will still kind of, you'll find it floating around somewhere. It's going to be called the catch. And it's one that's a lot of folk, everybody that was there or was a part of it or watched it, or it's something that you're just not going to forget.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll see it for a long time and enjoy it every time we do get the chance to see it. David, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
He's David Herbster, the athletic director of the University of South Dakota.
Joined now by the quarterback for the South Dakota football team, Carson Camp, who's coming off of a trip to receive an award for the play of the year, smooth play of the year at that, from Sports Illustrated down in Florida. Carson, let's start with that. I mean, what a moment, number one. You look back, I'm sure you've replayed that play in your head a million times by now. When you think back to it, what do you remember just as that play was unfolding?
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you see all the magic that kind of like happens in front of you. And when that play happened, you know, you, in the moment, you're just celebrating because you just beat your rival. But then as things kind of unfold and days go by, that magic kind of goes bigger and bigger. And obviously that turned into an award.
When you think back to that play and just your involvement, you take the snap, you roll out, you almost get sacked, then you throw that ball into the air. What's going through your mind as that thing's flying and you're just hoping there's a chance?
Well, when I threw it, I was like, hopefully I could get it there. But, you know, I ended up actually getting hit from behind. So when I actually somersaulted, and I couldn't even really see where the ball was at and who tipped what. All I could see was just the ref throw his hands in the air, and I see the crowd kind of jumping up and down, and I just all of a sudden just see all of my teammates just running all across the field. I'm like, what in the heck just happened? And I'm like, you can see me, there's a video of, like, I'm just in shock, like I don't even know what to happen. So I go find Coach Solofsky, and I'm like, is he in? And he's like, I don't know who caught it, but we caught it. And I'm just like, wow, that's remarkable. So yeah, it was, yeah, I'll never forget that moment for sure.
Pretty incredible. Certainly one of the highlights of the year, and it led to an award that you and Jeremiah were able to receive this week. Talk about that trip. Just what was that experience like for you guys to go down to Florida and be the representation for the football program at the university?
Yeah, I mean, it was just like when we found out about it, we were like, wow, like this is happening. We're going to go down and see some athletes that are big time. And you know, when we took the jet down there and we were landing in Florida, it was almost like, is this actually happening? Is this a dream? You can pinch me right now if you want. So you know, when we got there, you know, I was able to just see some big time celebrities, and that was the cool part about it, is you see these celebrities that are huge influencers and obviously play a big part, you know, in any sport that they play in. And it was really cool to just see them up and close and take a picture with them and briefly talk to them and just kind of get advice from them and kind of see what their journey was like. And it's really cool to see that everyone's journey is different. Some start really early in their life, and then some, you know, obviously hit their peak of their life later in their life. So, yeah, I mean, it was a great experience. I mean, I would not take back any second. I think every second I used to, you know, the best I can, and it was a great experience.
You know, you talk about a private jet, and you get down there, and there's a vehicle waiting right outside of the plane for you guys, and then all of a sudden you're on a red carpet taking pictures, and then you're in a room full of celebrity athletes, if you will. At what point did this really start to get real for you, or did you have to just try not to be the giddy kid who was looking around in awe?
I was the giddy kid looking around in awe, but I think the most surreal moment was just when we saw Tom Brady kind of walk in, and you're like, wow, like that is a very, very big time athlete. And I think that was the moment where I was like, wow, like this is real. I mean, the red carpet stuff was obviously a great part. It was awesome. It was kind of get that celebrity feeling like, but when we were sitting down, you know, having dinner, and then all of a sudden, you know, everyone's kind of like talking a little bit, and all of a sudden you just turn around, you see Tom Brady right there. I think that was probably the coolest moment right there, and just able to just see that, and I think that was awesome.
You know, for fans who watch that that show, and obviously South Dakota gets announced for that award, and then you and Jeremiah go up on stage, and you delivered a pretty good speech and seemed pretty calm, but that's a pretty big stage to be on.
Yeah, it was a very big stage, to be honest. I mean, we had a whole script that we kind of like talked about between me, Jeremiah, and then our media guy kind of sent us a script. And to be honest with you, I kind of forgot what I was supposed to say on that script. So I ended up kind of making some things up as I went. You know, obviously it was just more of, you know, just saying your thank yous. And, you know, obviously when you are looking around, you just see all these big time celebrities like kind of looking at you in the eye, and I was like, wow, like this is kind of crazy, this is a surreal moment. So yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I did the best I can delivering the speech, but you know, it was just more of just having that gratitude towards the Coyote community, our teammates, our coaches, and administration. I think that was kind of just a special moment right there.
Did you get a chance to mingle with some of those celebrity athletes?
Yeah, I was able to talk to Ray Lewis and Dan Marino, and briefly Tyler Hero, and then Logan Paul, and it was short conversations, but just, you know, like, hey, how you doing? I'm so and so. Where you from? And then any advice you got, or you know, hey, congratulations on the Hail Mary play, just stuff like that. I think it was cool to create that small talk, even though it might have lasted a minute or two or 3 minutes, whatever it was. But it was cool just to talk to them, you know, kind of put your name on the map. I mean, I think in times like that, you know, you kind of want to network a little bit, get your name out there. So I thought it was really cool just to talk to all those celebrities.
What did it mean to you to be up there and accept that award? I mean, obviously you were a big part of it, but this is it took a lot of team effort to even get into that situation, but to be able to accept that award on behalf of your team and really the fan base who still is excited about that play, what did that mean to you?
Yeah, I think it was cool just to like represent the University of South Dakota. I have like a lapel pin that was on my jacket, and I told our stylist, Haley Warren, I was like, I want to represent the University of South Dakota the best we can. I know we're going to get down there, and I know a lot of people are not even going to know what the University of South Dakota is. So to even go up there, get the award, have our play even replayed in front of everybody, I thought that was a special moment. So it was more just, yeah, I mean, was it about Jeremiah and I? And of course, you know, you see our name all over the place, but it's really representing the University of South Dakota, putting our university on the map, and kind of letting everyone know, like, this is a really good university. This is a surreal university. Like, we do things the right way here, and we have a great fan base, you know, great alumni, great administration, you know, everything that you can think of. So, yeah, I think it was just the most important thing was just making sure that the University of South Dakota was represented very well.
No doubt. Well, it certainly was, and obviously that was a highlight of the season, a season that I know you would have liked to see play out even more games, as many as possible, but a successful season that went to the FCS playoffs. When you look back, I'm sure you've had plenty of time to sit and think about the season and if this play had gone different or that play or whatever. When you look back at the entire year, how do you describe, define the season that USD football had?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take it back a little bit, you know, way back when, and I'm talking about the spring ball. You know, we came out 1-3, and I think there was a lot of questioning within our team and then obviously the fans. And I think that was like a main thing is, yeah, we got to turn some things around. And I never seen a team, including myself, work so hard in the summer. And obviously now it kind of like paid off. And I think, you know, you got to thank the seniors. I mean, you look at the senior class, they've been through a lot of ups and downs, a lot of, you know, not a lot of winning seasons. And for them to just stick it out for anywhere between 4 to 6 years, I think that's remarkable. And I think that it really comes from the senior group and a little bit of the junior group. But I think it was really nice to just kind of see how the season unfolded and how this year went down. Obviously, we ended up, you know, finishing the year off 7-5 and making it in the playoffs and all that stuff. But, you know, I think now this is the expectation. It's to make the playoffs and then get past the first round and get past the second round and stuff like that. So I think we're a team that's going to be competing in the Valley for the next 3 or 4 years. And I guess when I'm here, I guess, and even much longer than that. So, yeah, I think it was a great season. I mean, it's a lot to learn from an individual standpoint, but also from a team aspect. I think now we, as a team, you know, we're a young team, so we know what it takes to, you know, get to where we need to be. And I think we got a lot of guys in the right mindset that they want to be on a winning culture team and they want to make the playoffs and eventually, you know, get a ring.
These seasons, there's so many highs and lows throughout the course of the season, and sometimes those can take a toll on team. How do you feel like your guys handled the ups and downs throughout the season and continued to try to grind out? I mean, there were a lot of injuries on this team. We saw a lot of guys step up. We were talking about Jeremiah. I mean, he didn't really have much of an opportunity until the last couple of games of the year, and he really stepped up big. So what'd you see out of this group, just guys stepping up and filling at roles, whether it was injury or just maybe circumstance?
Yeah, I mean, that's the best part about having a young team is you get young freshmen that may not know what they're doing all the time, but they're going to give effort and they're going to make plays. And I think that was unique to, you know, see guys like Jay Webb and Josiah and who else? I mean, Nate Thomas. I mean, those guys that step up and make plays happen. I think it's unique to see that, you know, we have guys in the 2 or 3 deep that can make plays just like they can with a starter. And I think that's the best part about it. So, you know, yeah, I think it was good to just see those guys step up. And, yeah, we as a team, we fought through a lot of nagging injuries. It's definitely in that last string of the season, I think that was tough. But, you know, we battled through. I think a lot of guys might have been exhausted with the season. But, you know, it was a very long but quick season. So, yeah, I think with the injuries and everything like that, I thought it was just – good to see guys fight through it, see guys step up. And like I said, I think that seeing everyone step up that are young, I mean, it's going to carry over to the next season and the season after that. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what those young guys can do.
You were one of the guys dealing with an injury, and I'm not telling anybody anything they don't know because they could see you dealing with injury throughout the course of, you know, the end of that season. How's the arm doing? How much was it a factor for you as you were trying to fight through that injury?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. I think that it was an injury that was a nagging injury. So, you know, it's an injury that won't go away until you're done playing with the season. So, you know, it was tough. I mean, it was hard because, you know, I think there were some things that I wasn't able to do. You know, obviously I had to keep myself protected, and I think a lot of teams knew that. So I know a lot of teams were trying to come after me a little bit harder than maybe they usually would. But, yeah, I mean, you got to get through it. You got to play through it. I mean, it is what it is. It's the game of football. It's how it works as a quarterback. So I try not to have it, you know, bother me too much. I think when I did take a couple hits, I think there was a couple stingers that would go through my arm. But, you know, I just needed a couple seconds or a couple minutes, and I was able to get myself right back out there. So, again, you know, when I would go back out there or go back to the sideline, you know, Jonathan Lewis did a great job stepping up along with Cole Stenstrom. So I think, again, it's back where the 2 and 3 deep. You know, guys can step up. And, you know, I was happy to see those guys do what they needed to do. And Jay Lou ran the ball very well, and so did Cole. So, yeah, I think it was good to see that. I think it's good to have the much depth as possible, whether it's at the quarterback position or any other position. So, yeah, I think it was good to just get that going.
Well, you certainly showed your toughness throughout the course of, you know, the season with that injury and fighting through it. You talked about the seniors earlier. Unfortunately, seniors leave us every single year, but it also means some new guys come into the program. And I know we're closing in on signing day next week. There's been some official visits. What kind of involvement do you and other players have as the coaches try to convince guys to come play here and know that this is an opportunity to do what you were talking about, make the playoffs and have successful seasons?
Well, when we have the recruits come in, you know, on official visits or even on unofficial visits, you know, we'll hold a player panel or we'll host a recruit. And just to start with the player panel, you know, we have the recruit come in and they ask us questions as players, like, what do you think of this university? What degree do you have? What's the ebbs and flows of just playing college football? And we give them our honest opinion and we tell them, hey, you know, yeah, it might be Vermillion, it might be a small town, but, like, we have some great facilities. We have a great university. We have dudes that want to play here. We have dudes that want to be on a winning culture. So we try to convince them. I think as players, we do a good job. I think we've gotten some really good recruits in the past couple of years. So, you know, that's part of the player panel. And then when we host over the weekend, that's just more of, you know, showing them around campus, kind of showing them behind the scenes without the coaching staff and the parents. And so dorms, taking them out to eat, showing them kind of like what's Vermillion about, maybe show them to maybe go to Sioux City or Sioux Falls, kind of show them like, hey, this is kind of what you'd be surrounded by with city-wise and what you can and can't do. So, yeah, I think it's good. I like it. I think it's a good way to, you know, obviously show a recruit what the University of South Dakota is all about.
No doubt. It's all a team effort. In a game, it's a team effort to get them here, no doubt. All right, last thing for you, Carson. It's going to be a long off season for fans who are itching for next September when you guys open the season at Kansas State. Why should fans be excited about, you know, as you get into winter workouts, spring ball, and eventually into fall camp? Why do you feel like fans should be excited about where this program is at right now?
I mentioned it before. We have a young team, and that young team is full of guys that want to be on a winning culture. But I've never seen so much talent with the younger guys I've ever, you know, and I've only been here, obviously, but, I mean, there's some young guys that can play, and we only see it in practice. Obviously, there's only so many people that can play in the game. So if there's one thing that fans should be excited about, it's this young talent that we have on board here at the University of South Dakota, and I just can't wait to see those guys showcase it against Kansas State.
Hey, we'll look forward to it. Carson, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Get yourself healed up and have a good offseason.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
There's Carson Kemp. He's the starting quarterback for the University of South Dakota, and obviously you could tell he's really excited about the future for Coyote football, and I think everybody should be. I mean, I've been saying for a while, the last few years, we've been watching this thing build, and certainly this coaching staff has it going the right direction. Obviously, it's got to continue trending upwards, right? You can't level off, but they've been bringing in some incredible talent, and we're starting to see that on the football field for USD. All right, let's get into, before we wrap things up, what's going on in Coyote Athletics. Really a lighter week, certainly. And keep an eye on the weather this week. Obviously, there's our first big snowstorm of the year coming in. Could impact things. The women's basketball on Friday night set to host Valparaiso. Valpo looking for their first win of the season. It's a 7 p.m. start time. In theory, that game will go on, but keep it in mind as you maybe make your way to the game. Travel safely, check the forecast, all that good stuff, but keep an eye out on social media in case there are any changes. Now, I will say this, men's basketball is scheduled to play Northern Arizona on Saturday afternoon at 3:30. Well, typically teams travel the day before the contest, so Northern Arizona traveling on a Friday during a snowstorm potentially could have travel issues. Keep an eye on social media. You just never know how those things play out. We'll always assume there is a game until we hear otherwise. So plan for those games. Women's basketball against Valparaiso on Friday night at 7. Men's basketball against Northern Arizona on Saturday afternoon at 3:30. And then don't forget, coming up next week, men's basketball back at home on Wednesday. They'll host Bellarmine. They're out of Kentucky. It's a 7 p.m. start time next Wednesday, the 15th. And women's basketball will head to Creighton on Thursday. They'll play. It's a 6:30 start time in Omaha, Nebraska. Women's basketball and the Creighton Blue Jays. That's all before conference season gets underway on the 20th and 22nd. So that's what's going on right now in Coyote Athletics. Hope you can catch a game, match, or meet soon in Coyote Athletics, whatever sport it may be. Check it out. And as always, visit goyotes.com for game information, for ticket information, and all of that good stuff as well. As always, if you have a story or an athlete or a coach or an administrator or something that you want to hear more about, certainly reach out to us. Email us at yotecast@usd.edu. We do check that email periodically. to see what kind of ideas are flowing, and we appreciate those who have sent in ideas and continue to stay engaged. And if you haven't asked the AD question, always send those out as well. You can send those to South Dakota social media posts, or you can send them directly to me. You can find me on social media, whatever it is. We would be glad to get your question in for David Herbster. You can also email those to yotecast@usd.edu. That's it for me this week. My thanks to David Herbster and Carson Camp for being guests on the podcast. Brian Betcher for his help, as always, in lining this thing up. Certainly appreciate all of their efforts to make this a possibility. And we appreciate you for listening. If you don't click on the podcast, if you don't listen to it, then we don't do it. So I appreciate you clicking on this and continuing to keep this a thing for Yotecast and for all of us as we continue to share the stories of our student-athletes, coaches, administrators, and so many more as well. All right, that's it for me. I'm John Thayer. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Keep an eye on the weather for the weekend games. Certainly keep your eyes out on social media as well. Travel safe to the games, and we hope to see you at the games. All right, be safe. Go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.